God's goodness on the screen. You see that? God's goodness. Last week we talked about having our cups filled up. You remember that? Some of you here, vacation season, here, there, gone the other time, here today, what have you. Turn your cup up this morning. You know, you go into a place to eat. If it's a pretty nice place, I have those glasses turned over. And the first thing you do, you either do or somebody does it for you. You sit down, they'll come around, they'll pop that glass up. To have that glass filled up, it's got to be turned up. So I hope it's turned up and ready. God wants to fill you with His goodness today. So we're going to talk about His goodness. If I ask you a question to name me the brother of Mary and Martha, you would say Lazarus. About all of you know that name, don't you? Why do you know that name? Because of God's goodness. Because of what God did. And it didn't look like it was goodness for a while, but it was proven it was God's goodness. I've got some help today. You know the story, but for whatever reason, I feel the Lord wants us to read and hear the whole story today. So the next slide on that screen says John 11, 1 through 47. If you want to turn in your Bibles or listen to Bill as he starts the story.
I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, so it might be just a little different if you have a different translation. But starting at verse 1. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." But his disciples objected. "Rabbi," they said, "only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus replied, "There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light." Then he said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better." They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him." Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go too and die with Jesus." When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at that last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha?"
"Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ and the Son of God who has come into the world." And after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary had reached the place where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," Martha said, "the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is a man performing many miraculous signs.
Thank you, men. I appreciate it. So you've got a lot of scripture there, and the story, you know it. You got to hear it or read along, what have you, write along each word for whatever reason this day, and you know the story. Now, Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." No matter who you are, how young, how old, how white, how black, how brown, how rich, how poor, whatever, you're going to die. And that fact gets a hold of mankind, and the reality of it is it brings some fear with it. Now, Mary and Martha believed one day that Lazarus would be raised, but that one day was out in the future, where the resurrection of the dead would rise, and your brother will rise again. Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now, she believed that. She had that in her thought pattern because of Scripture. Job, back in the Old Testament, he said this. He said, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him, and with my own eyes, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me." So that was Job's words. So Martha believed in the resurrection of the dead. She believed that in theory. Now, we believe a lot of things in theory. But then when the reality comes and we're walking in it, it's like, what happens here? The reality at this point in time in this story is her brother Lazarus is dead. Dead. You know, he's in the grave. So why did Jesus do what he was doing here? Well, Jesus could have prevented Lazarus from dying. You can say, well, sure he could have. It's not like he couldn't heal people. They had saw over the past 3 years here a lot of healings, and they even sent for him about 4 days ago. Now, well, why did Jesus fool around? Why didn't Jesus come right then? He knew Lazarus was sick. He knew what was going on. It was not a secret. And he even knew, Jesus did, before he left, that Lazarus was dead and buried. All right? He knew that. Well, now, Lazarus is described as one of Jesus' good friends. And that third verse, "Lord, the one you love is sick." The one you love, he's sick. It's not like a stranger or anything, the one you love, that's the scripture says. Now, Jesus loves everybody, we say, and that's true. He loves you and me and everybody, no matter where you come from, what you've done, where you're at in life. Yes, Jesus loves you, sure enough, today, right here. But this was a man that Jesus could relax with. He could go fishing with, or they just got along. They were could be qualified for that best friend category. They hit it off, so to speak. Best friends. Now, if I had a friend, a best friend or something, and they were sick, I'd like to go by and see them. I'd like to be near them. This makes sense that we'd do that. And here's this special friend, one whom Jesus loves, the scripture says. And Jesus just took his time and he died and was in the grave. Lazarus. Do you know that name? And just about everybody, if not everybody in here said, yeah, I know Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus. You remember the story. And part of the reason you remember that story is that Jesus raised him from the dead. So God's goodness, if God was good, why did he let him die? If God was good, we have all these questions as human beings. Why did Jesus do this, that, and the other? Well, he had a reason here. Lazarus, he knew all about him. We pick out a few Bible characters. Joseph, you know that name probably. The one who was a slave. The one that Potiphar's wife tried to get a hold of, and the one who was in prison. Now you say, well, he had some hard times. Well, Moses, you know that name. He tried to help the Israelites and wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. David and Goliath. Well, I know that story too. David, the little boy or young boy, and the stones and the big giant Goliath. I know that story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace. And you say, yeah, I remember that story. All of them had things going on. Daniel, the lion's den. I remember that story. And God helped them in those situations. They faced tragedy. They couldn't control the situation. Now, here's old Lazarus. He wasn't in the lion's den. He wasn't fighting Goliath, but here's Lazarus' story, the brother of Mary and Martha, and Jesus just let him die so he could raise him from the dead. Now, Lazarus, come forth, he said, and he did, bound with the grave clothes, the scripture says. And for Lazarus, the apostles didn't get this witness. Goliath or David and Goliath, that story, Joseph, Moses, whoever you want to talk about, doesn't have this kind of a powerful witness. For whatever reason, God wanted this to happen in the life of Lazarus. And Jesus, when he said, come forth, he did. And one of the reasons, there are many I don't know, but this scripture says many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary had been and had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in him. That's one big reason that Jesus did what he did, and the timing that he did. Many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in him. Lazarus has a powerful witness. He has a testimony, not like Moses or not like Joseph. Lazarus has a testimony that the Lord gave him for a purpose and a reason. And man, what a testimony he has. Raised from the dead. Now Jesus loved his friends, it said, the one who Jesus loved. And he gave him something he didn't give other people here. He gave Lazarus this story of God's resurrection power. Now, why, how come, all the facts, all the details, I don't know those. But I know he gave Lazarus a story here. He gave him a testimony of the resurrection power of God. And how what happened to him. He was raised from the dead. And the story, and here he says, the one you loved. I just got through telling you, Jesus loves you too. Your name's not Lazarus, but Jesus loves you. And you and you and you and all of us here, he loves us. And he wants to give us a testimony as well. He wants us to tell our friends and neighbors about the love of God. Now, I can't go witness to anybody and say, guess what? I had a sister named Mary and Martha, and you know what? I died. And you know, Jesus just took his time, and because 4 days or so later, finally showed up. He stood out there, said, move the stone, and he said, come forth, Ron. That's not happened to me. It happened to Lazarus, but it just as sure as God worked in all these stories, God wants to work in you. God wants to give you a testimony. God has given you a testimony. God has given you a witness to help other people see him, to see Jesus, to be saved. He wants to give you that testimony. Well, aren't testimonies given oftentimes through hardship? Yes, they are. It just seems to work that way. Not always, but a lot of times a hardship comes, a trial comes, and we can't see it right then. And there's people on our prayer list today that I've fought praying for them. Lord, what kind of testimony are you going to give them? What are you going to do with Glenn Hall? I don't know what God's going to do with Glenn Hall. He can heal him. He can raise him up out of that bed just as sure as I stand on my 2 feet. He can. Will he? I'm not sure. He may take him to glory. But God does all things well. What will God do with Brady? Strong faith. All the things he's been through in this burn and burn victim all over his body and all that. What is God going to do? Is he going to raise him up fast, slow? What's it going to be? I don't know the answer to that. But God is working to give him a testimony some way, somehow. What will we see out 10 years and 20 years through that situation? I'm not sure. But God is at work. Your name's not Lazarus. Mine's not either. But God is at work. God's goodness. Will you open your eyes to God's goodness? Will you look around at God's goodness? It's easy to complain. It's easy to be negative. It's easy to say, oh, this and all that. That's that human nature that we have. But would you open up your eyes to God's goodness? Would you focus on God's goodness? Would you focus on what he is up to in your life? Well, I just went to camp. I just did this. I'm going on vacation. I'm doing this. Just got me a job. I'm going to do this. Going to do that. Going to get married. On and on we could go. But what about God's goodness? Focus on it. See it. God's goodness. In the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now look on the slide or the screen, yeah, with me. What's the next one? Well, I've done skipped that one. Sorry. Let's go to the next one. There's the one I'm looking for. 1 Peter 4. What's it say? Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. And if you was in our Sunday school class this morning, you're getting a double dose for some reason. You're getting the same scripture again. So pay attention to it for whatever God has in store. We face tragedy. We face hardship. We face loss in life. And we do ask the question in our humanness, why? But we have opportunity here for God to do a work in all situations of life. God's stories are stories of hope. Do you realize that? As a Christian person, you have hope. You have the hope of the Lord in whatever circumstance you're in. So I pray that you'll open your eyes to God's goodness and see it. God told Paul on 2 Corinthians 12:9, look at it with me on the screen. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. He thought about it a little while, and then look at the next verse there on the screen. It's 12:10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardship and persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. How could Paul face this kind of hardship and things that he faced and distresses? I want to tell you one reason, because he realized God loved him. He realized that whatever happens all around here, God still loves me. God's on my team. I know God is good. I am going to see his goodness. I want him to fill my cup with his goodness. And he did. And he could go on and live what the way he Jesus warned him to. So, back to Lazarus. Why didn't Jesus come running right on down when he was called for? Why did Jesus do the things he did here? I don't know all the reasons, but he was not being cruel. You know, sometimes we get the mindset, if we don't get exactly what we want when we pray for it right now, all of a sudden, oh, I don't know if Jesus loves me or not. Yes, he does. Jesus is not being cruel. Jesus is not that way. Well, it was because he was giving Lazarus an opportunity to have a witness, a powerful witness of the power over death and the grave. Jesus has that power over death and over the grave. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you know that to be truth? And that same kindness he wants to give us in that goodness. Look at Romans 6:4 with me. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We too live a new life. Been saved, been baptized, living for the Lord, that kind of thing. When we got saved and baptized, now we died to self. We're to die. Our sins, our past, all that is in the past. We died to the sins we'd committed, and we've been saved, and we turn our life over to Jesus. If you watch a baptism service, you're standing there, and the preacher says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, lays you down in the water, symbolic of being dead to sin. And the preacher don't leave you down there, does he? Don't leave you down there. You start bubbling. He brings you up. You come back up. You're raised up, symbolic of being raised to new life in Christ. And we are alive with Christ. You come up out of the water, just like Lazarus here, just like Jesus. They came up out of that grave with a witness, and a powerful witness. The reason Jesus waited while Lazarus died wasn't because he was being cruel. And if something's going on in your life right now, and you've been praying a long time, you're living for the Lord the best you know how, and it just seems like this one situation, the truth of the matter is, it's like, Jesus, I don't get you today. Now, we don't like to say that because we're in church, but sometimes we think it. Jesus, I just don't understand this little deal right here. And probably all of us have one. We just don't understand, Jesus, what's the holdup in this area of life? Jesus, what's the holdup here in this? I just don't get it. I just don't understand it. Listen to me. Jesus loves you in the situation. Whether you understand it, whether it's coming as fast as you want it to, or whatever in life, Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ is not cruel. Jesus Christ has a plan for you, and He loves you, and He wants to give you a testimony and a witness. Now, it might not be like Lazarus exactly, but He's got one for you, and I pray that you're using it. God loves you. Giving you a testimony, giving you a witness. So open your eyes to what's around you. Open your eyes to God's goodness and what He's up to in your life. Will you tap into it? Will you tap into God's goodness? Will you turn that glass up and allow the goodness of God to come in? Well, I don't understand this, and I don't understand that. Join the club's all I got to say. We don't understand everything of life. We don't understand all the circumstances of life. If we're honest, we just don't. But I'm here to tell you, God loves you. He's good. Turn that glass up and say, Lord, fill it. Fill me up, Lord, with your goodness today. You're in the house of God for purposes today that God has for you. It might have been the Sunday school lesson. It might have been a song. It might have been the sermon today. But just take the simple truth with you today. God loves you. God is good. And He wants to fill your cup up with His goodness. Open your eyes to it. Open your heart to it. And say, God, I know you're good. We sing that you're good. I know you're good by reading the Word. It's not that I don't think you're good, but in this one little area, I don't understand. But today, in this one little area right here in my life and heart, I'm turning the cup up. I might not understand. Don't know why it's taking so long. Whatever the circumstance may be, but I'm turning my cup up, Lord. And just as sure as you're God in heaven, just as sure as Jesus is the right hand of the Father, just as sure as the Holy Spirit as it is at work in the world today, I turn my cup up, Lord. I know you're good. Now fill me. Fill my cup. Fill me with your goodness. I have a witness. I have a testimony. Help me to use it for the glory of God. Would you stand with me? Father, again, we stand in your presence to thank you and to praise you for your goodness. Lord, sometimes we get so caught up in life that we're going at such a high rate of speed and we're so busy that we, sadly to say, I truly believe we miss some of God's goodness because of a busy lifestyle. You know, we might be doing this and doing that and going here and going there. And we might be having a good time even, but sometimes we miss the goodness of God. Thank you that you are good. Thank you that you love every person under the sound of my voice more than I could ever communicate it to them. Probably more than we can ever understand on this side of glory. But we're thankful for your goodness. Now, Lord, we need your goodness. We desire your goodness. And Lord, you know what the Holy Spirit is doing in the mind of boys and girls and men and women in this building today. And you know what that one little area of our life is. You know what we need to do about that right here and now. And if it is coming to the altar and saying, Lord, here, I need forgiveness, or Lord, I need to get saved, or Lord, I want your goodness of salvation, or Lord, here's this area that I'm just simply going to, by faith, turn my cup up and say, Lord, fill me. Fill this area of my life with your goodness. Whatever it is that you're calling us to do, Holy Spirit, I pray we'll do it. Thank you again for your goodness and your availability to somebody like me and everybody here. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.